I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, first of all, I'd like to say what a delight and a pleasure it is to be with you here for this great feast of Pentecost. And thank you for the music people who are providing all this joyful occasion to sing praises to God as we celebrate this great day. You already got the first part of my homily a little bit because, you know, the children always get a piece of the homily, right? And just a little piece. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about why is it that we celebrate Pentecost? Like, what is its significance? And, you know, you could say, well, we just heard the story. The Spirit came down. So when you think about Pentecost, what is the first thing that comes to mind for people? Anybody? Fire. Yes, fire. Good, fire, yeah, and? Tongues, okay, good. Fire and tongues, that's tongues of fire too, in fact. The fire came in tongues. There's all there. You're allowed, when I ask questions, it's not rhetorical. I'm actually looking for responses, just so that you're wondering. Yeah, okay, good. So we know the basics of the story. And we know that it happens on the Feast of Pentecost, and that we don't call it Pentecost because of the coming of the Holy Spirit at the time we call Pentecost, but because it was a Jewish celebration beforehand. And as you heard me say, the kids, it was a celebration which in part honored the giving of Torah. It actually had two celebration things. It was actually originally the celebration of the first harvest, the first fruits from the harvest. So the harvest would be gathered in 50 weeks out from planting, and they would celebrate the first fruits being gathered in. And then, later on, it also became the celebration of the giving of Torah on Mount Sinai, the giving of the law to Moses. And so that was a great celebration because they would light big big torches on the tops of the temple to shine light out, because the light of Torah, giving the light to the people to guide their way. So those two things are resonating. But then there's also this piece about the gift of tongues that comes down. And it points to something that is even goes back before Sinai and the giving of the law. And that is the story of the Tower of Babel. Anybody remember the Tower of Babel? No, none of you are old enough to do that. Yeah, do you remember the story of the Tower of Babel? Yes, and you remember what happens at it is that the peoples of the earth are all together, and they decide that they're going to build a tower into heaven. They're going to reach the heavens by building a tower. Not with God, not with the aim of doing what God wants for them, but with the aim of, we're going to build our tower into heaven. It is, I think the best word for that would be hubris, pride. We are going to do it. Pride and hubris. Which, of course, should resonate for us to another story even earlier on, which would be the story of creation, when God gives the human beings everything that they need in this beautiful garden, and they decide that's not good enough. They also want to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they've been told they can't have. Again, pride and hubris, departing from what God has called them and created them to be, and doing it their own way. And so, as you can see, we've been going backwards, right? Well, now let's go forward and collect all of that up again. The human beings created by God, for God, in God's love, are now, who have fallen in pride and who have tried even to reach the heavens in their own strength by building a tower, but who God is calling back through Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob, and then through Moses and the bringing them into freedom out of slavery in Egypt, and gives them the law on Sinai that's to be the light to guide them so they can do it right. And then, well, you know, we know the story, right? They don't, repeatedly, and there's a the history of failure with prophets calling back, calling people back, calling them back to faithfulness to God until the coming of Jesus, when God enters into our world and becomes a human being, and to show us who the Father really is, to show us who God is, which is what we heard in the Gospel of John, right? Thomas, how can you say, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is saying, just as human beings were meant to be created in the image of God, I am the fullness of God's image, the presence of God here among you, so that when you see me, you see what God, who God is in God's love and grace. And therefore, you're seeing who you're supposed to be because you're seeing the one in whose image you were created to be. And so he says to Thomas, look, look, this is the way. Well, it's a hard thing to do. But again, one of the promises that were spoken by the prophets back centuries before is when God says, I will make a new covenant with my people and I will write my law upon their hearts and I will be their God and they will be my people. Who knows how people thought of that in the time or what they thought it would be? But the coming of Jesus suddenly stirs and his teaching and his life and death on the cross opened the doorway. And then on this Feast of Pentecost, the Spirit pours down and God's law is literally dwelling in our hearts. Not just written on it, but the presence of God, the person of the Spirit, living within us to guide us in the way, to give us the light that shows us who we are and what we are to do. God living in our midst. We call it this the birthday of the church. But church in the sense of the first calling, the first gathering in of the people of God who are becoming the new humanity. As Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, you know, you did not receive a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption that made you sons and daughters of God. You are a new creation. A new thing has come into being in this power of Pentecost, the power of the Spirit descending. It's not only the birthday of the church as a gathering, but the church as the first fruits of the new humanity, the gathering in of the harvest, if you will, the beginning of the gathering in of the harvest. Well, there is one other big thing about the story of Pentecost. Anybody? We got fire, we got tongues, we got, you know, big happy, law written on heart. Okay, what happens next? Come on, you know it. It is the Holy Spirit, yes, okay, the Holy Spirit's poured out, and tongues, yeah, and then, sorry? They go out. They don't sit around going, hey, isn't it great? We got this new thing. Hey, great, pass the wine. Let's have a celebration. No. What they do immediately is they're out in the streets and people are hearing and they're seeing this amazing thing and they don't know what to make about it, but they can see that something new is being born in their midst and people are wondering what is going on. Some mock. We're human beings. There's always going to be some of that, right? Some mock. But Peter stands up and in the power of the Spirit as this new humanity that he's being made into by the power of the Spirit, he speaks the word and he says, this is what you're seeing. This is it. This is the fulfillment. This is what it all is coming to, is us becoming this new humanity in Jesus Christ, the one who died for us and brought us salvation. And in his speaking, thousands more are touched and receive the Spirit, and their hearts are changed, and they enter into the new life. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, when we come here, I know when we come to church on a Sunday morning, we come with all sorts of things. We come with burdens of the week or of the month or the things that are still burdening us for the last years, whatever it might be. We come looking for solace and comfort. We also come looking for strength and for hope in the midst of troubled times. We come looking for, we can go on, the list could go on and on and on, to celebrate. We come to express our love for God, to renew our commitment in faith, to receive from the Holy Eucharist the sacramental sign, the giving of our life that binds us anew or continues to strengthen us, I guess would be a better way of saying it, in that life as the new humanity, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the body of Christ, the new humanity. And then, what was that last part again? You go out. Yes, because God doesn't just make you sons and daughters of God. He doesn't just make us this new humanity because it's, you know, we won the prize. We got the award. It's for a purpose. Because we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and now we go out and love our neighbor and love them enough to be able with our lives, with our witness of love, by the power of the Spirit, to call them, to gently invite them into this same life, this new life that is poured out upon us in Pentecost. I pray, and I hope you pray with me, Lord, send your Spirit afresh on us this day. Open our minds and our hearts, our eyes to see what you are doing, and give us the strength of spirit and soul to speak your word and turn more hearts to you in love to be part of our new humanity in Jesus Christ. Amen.